man. He's here 24/7, people. Thank you, Nick. Again, my name is Cody Hensley. I'm one of the pastors here. I just want to say good morning. I will be concluding our message series in Risk Takers. And so if you haven't been with us, we're just basically walking through Hebrews 11 and looking at the individuals that's called the Hall of Faith and been going over their stories. And we've been defined a risk taker as someone who is willing to do things that would involve danger in order to achieve a goal. And so we've looked at Abraham, we've looked at Joseph, we've looked at Noah, and these are individuals who took a risk to achieve a goal. And so what I've actually been getting out of this series is that the risks that are worth taking are the ones that will glorify God and not ourselves. Say that again. The risks that are worth taking are the ones that will glorify God and not ourselves. And I get this in Paul, in the New Testament. Paul speaks about this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And so when we've gone through this series, what we see is that those who believe in God, those who trust in God, is to glorify him. And he does, and we're supposed to do that by submitting to what he has commanded in scripture or spoken to. We are to trust him. We are to brag about him. We are to speak highly about him. We are to glorify him. And so in our risk taker series, we're going to end with men, again, risking their lives to glorify God. And they do so by what they know of God to be true. So this morning, we're going to kind of speak about a little bit about theology. Theology is just basically, theos is Greek, ology, study of God, theology. And we're going to see men who are stepping into their theology, they're living out their theology, and they risk everything, their lives themselves, because what they believe in God is to be true. Their faith is their assurance for the things that God has promised. So we're going to dive into Hebrews again. This is our jumping board that we've been kind of jumping from. So it's Hebrews 11. It's going to be verses. This is the ESV, so it'll be a little different from what you probably have been reading in this past couple of series. But so we're going to start Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it," talking about faith, "the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what we seen was not made of out of things that are visible." And we can continue in verse 11. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Who's speaking about God? "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And so what we're going to dive into this week is like, okay, so who's going to be our example? Who's going to be the one who risks everything? It's going to actually be, their names are not mentioned, but their actions are. So Hebrews 11, 33 through 34 says, "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." So we're going to talk about quench the power of fire. Well, who's quenched the power of fire? Three men, and you probably have heard this before, and if not, this is going to be a great story, and probably have misspelled or said their names incorrectly. I don't know if you guys ever heard of three individuals called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody? Yeah, those are like common names, right, in preschool. Shadrach! if that is your name, I'm sorry, I just screamed it out loud. So these three individuals quenched the power of fire, and their stories come from the book of Daniel. Daniel and his friends were exiles from their home, Exiles were just basically prisoners of war. And who captured them was Babylon. So Babylon conquered Israel. This is actually a promise that God gave Israel, saying, if you don't change your ways, somebody's going to conquer you. And guess what happens? They got conquered. And so Babylon takes, they take what's the professional class. So they take the soldiers, the artists, the scholars, government officials, military officials. They take these individuals, they bring them into the Babylon culture, and they want to basically integrate them. They want to reprogram them. This is not something new. This happens in war back then, and it still kind of happens today. So Babylon was taking these scholars of God and brought them into their culture, and they would teach them the ways of Babylon, because the goal is that they were hoping that the next generation of Israelites will actually be conformed or reprogrammed so that they will stop arguing and complaining about Babylon. All right, let's get them on the same page. Like, let's present ourselves that we're not these warmongers. We're just actually people. And let's reprogram for what we want out of them. And so these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to be reprogrammed. They refuse that, no, I'm not going to actually follow what you do. But they had a choice. They either can be integrated or be disintegrated. They had to be integrated or be disintegrated. Would you guys mind praying with me? God, as we dive into your word, Lord, we pray that, Lord, we know the pressures of this world wants to conform us to change our identity to what the world believes, to what the world thinks is the standard. So God, we pray that you will be moving in our hearts, God, that, Lord, confession and repentance will come out, but also that, God, we will glorify you above all things. Lord, only your spirit and your word can do so. So we pray for information to transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. So our story this morning is going to start in Daniel 3. It's going to be in verse 1. So what's happening on the scene here is that King Nebuchadnezzar, he is the Babylonian king who conquered Israel. He's speaking to some basically officials. And so King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. Anybody else did that this week? Right? So this guy took gold and made an image. In fact, it was 10 stories. It was in the center of the town. Imagine if we had a golden image of Andy and we just put it out there in the parking lot, right? It would be seen, right? Maybe even taller than the summit, the watchtower. And the command was, worship that. No, this is not in the plans. I know you see a lot of construction out there. Just in case you're wondering, that's cement, not gold. He did carve his name in it. So just imagine that. That's the normal way of life. There's this huge image. It's 10 stories tall, and worship that. So he not only said worship it, but he made a law. Let's go to verse 5, Daniel 3. It says, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, didn't know that exists back then, and every kind of music, so every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image of the king. Well, why would you do that? Like, why would, like, that's narcissism, that's, you know, wow, that guy has some huge ego. Well, actually, it was to get people on the same page. It was telling people, we want you to be like us. Why? Because what you worship is what you live for. So if I can get you to worship the same thing that everybody's doing, then we'll all be alike. So worship this image. Why? Because I want to conform everything. I want you all of us to be on the same page. Integration was the way to get everybody on board. So publicly, we all worship the same thing. So what? We could be like everybody else. So you may be like, well, Cody, one, we don't have a huge image out there, right? So you're Monday through Saturday, you're like, I don't know how this is going to apply. Well, maybe if Nebuchadnezzar was living today, maybe he would change the wording. I don't know if you ever heard something like this, but maybe a boss or somebody you know said, look, what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get everybody on the same page. Can you help a brother out? Like, can you help me out here? Like, see, just imagine if we all were going to do the same thing. Hey, there's no I in team, but there is me, but that's kind of confusing. So there's no I in team. So let's all be team players and let's all just get along, right? I just want everybody to be on the same goal. See, your faith is good for you, right? You do your Sunday thing, but in public, we cannot disagree with one another because we want to be we want everybody on the same goal. Don't be different. Just be like everybody else. This kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? So maybe that's not your scenario, but maybe this is your scenario. Hey, look, we got to have practice on Sundays. I got to have it early afternoon, maybe like early morning, because that's just the time that it works out. Nobody's on the field. And I know it's kind of around church time, but if your son or daughter doesn't show up, they're not going to play because everybody else showed up. Maybe that's not your scenario. Maybe this is your scenario. Look, there's only one way to get ahead of this industry. So if you want to rise above everybody else, you got to cut some corners, right? There's only one way to thrive in this place, and it's not to be the nice guy. That wording is not so different, is it? See, we listen to that throughout our week, and we go along with it. And maybe it's because we don't want to really rock the boat, right? You got to be politically correct. Christianity was never politically correct, by the way. It will never be politically correct. And so we don't want to rock the boat. We want to offend people. Saying there's only one way to love is actually offensive, and that actually comes in Corinthians. So since there's only one way, and we proclaim one way, we're like, I don't want to rock the boat. Or maybe the pressure is so great that you're like, I just want my kids to be happy, right? I want them to succeed. So I'm going to give all my energy, all my resources, all my time, all my giftings to make sure that works out. Well, then who is your God? See, this image is not so different than what we think. Because culture has a way to talk about time, money, talent, sex, work, ethics. They all have a standard. But so does God. So there's God's voice, and there's the world's version of truth and standards. The question is, which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to live by? Because wherever your energy, your money, I'm sure you've heard this, money, talents, treasure, wherever that goes, that is actually what you're worshiping. And you're like, maybe it's not a 10-story building, but whatever controls your emotions, there's your God. So when we value our existence on those things, such as family, work, money, sex, success, are those bad things in themselves? No. They only become bad things when that's when all your time, emotions, and energy goes to. So parenting's not bad. Sports is not bad. Work is not bad. But when they conform you and when that becomes your motivation, rather than giving God glory, as Paul has said, they become bad things. Ladies and gentlemen, we worship an image. The perfect parent, the perfect spouse, the perfect worker, the perfect something. We are worshiping an image. It's just not a golden one. So what do we do? That's kind of like, bleh, right? Well, scripture tells us what to do. See, in the book of Daniel, he and his friends were not always liked. They were not always liked because they were unwilling to conform. They were unwilling to be reprogrammed. Doesn't mean that they were bad workers. No, in fact, they were the best workers, right? They've been promoted three times so far in scripture. Why? Because they stood firm in their standards. They're unwilling to compromise with the world and they were hated for it. And so in this story, Daniel 3, we have some individuals who are like, hey, those Hebrew men, they're not worshiping the idol. So they were told on. They're like, let's get rid of them. So they told Nebuchadnezzar, hey, you said a sound of any music. So if any music was going on, those three guys over there are not worshiping. What are you going to do? Well, so what happens when you tell a king who tried to integrate, try to get everybody on the same page, and you hear, hey, they're not on the same page? What's going to happen? Well, let's look. Verse 13 in chapter 3 of Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his furious rage, right? He wasn't like, oh, really sad, upset. No, furious. And he commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And he confronted these men. He was like, is this true? Is this, you really not doing this? Because they were actually his highest officials. And he was like, I can't get my officials on the same page? What do you mean, right? And I don't know about you, but so this would be kind of like parenting. My son is 18 months, and he's learned not to say no, but shake his head with no, which is fun, right? So great. Even like things that are like life-threatening. Don't stick a penny in a light socket. And that hasn't happened, but it's been like something like, don't run outside! And I get, no. And you want to say, excuse me? am I the only parent who's had that before, where the child is now the parent and now in control of everything? Well, this is that response that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego give Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 16. It says, they answered to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. This is like the teen version of whatever, right? You're talking to your teen and you're like, clean your room, whatever. Or whatever acronym they're using right now, who knows? You have to Google it and like, I don't even know what that means. But this is risky. This is a king. This is a person who can say you're dead. Right, I know my mom has said this a couple of times. I can bring you in this world and I can. Yeah. This is one of those kind of conversations. Like, oh, really? I could take you out like that. She never did. So, but these men was not trying to be snarky or cocky or arrogant to the king. It's just because what the king was demanding of them was to remove their identity. And they're like, no, that's not going to happen. And their confidence wasn't so much in themselves, but again, they were living out their theology, what they know of God. They were saying, I have confidence in God, and I'm not going to do it. So I have no reason to answer you this because I don't serve you, I serve God. So I'm not going to answer you because you know the God that I serve. And their faith and trust in God surpassed the pressure of compromising with the world. They were more confident in what God can do rather than what man can do to them. And this is, I love what they say to Nebuchadnezzar the next. Verse 17, read with me. It says, if this be so, again, like, okay, if you throw me into the fire, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. So again, this confidence that they have is not arrogance. It's just they just know the God that they serve, right? Because they even say that. God whom we serve, he's able to save us even out of the worst circumstances. So this living as God's kids, we have right here, living as God's kids is having confidence in the God whom you serve. And sometimes God delivers us out of the fire, and sometimes he delivers us through the fire. But he's always able. And if we're going to live as God's kids, we have to understand this, that just because he's able doesn't mean he has to. This is where living out our theology takes feet. This is where we really have to say, okay, do I really trust what I believe? Because just because he's able, doesn't mean he has to. You guys hear that? That's fun back there, right? Let's go back there. Let's just. So verse 18, Daniel 3, it says this. It says, if not. So he's able and he doesn't have to. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So living as God's kids, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were saying, we love God regardless of what he can and won't do for us, right? We're loving God because we're not loving him so that we get something out of him. He's already given us something. What has he given us? Well, he delivered his people out of slavery from Egypt, right? So they're going back. We already know what he can do. And because what we know what he can do, if I live or die, I'm still going to serve him. I will not bow down to your gods. Some people will serve the Lord, but as long as the Lord will follow their rules. Lord, you can't fire me. I need this job. Lord, I need to be healed. Right? We only want to serve God only if, Lord, if I do, then you do. The question is not so much that is not, can God do something? The question is, will God do something? And are you going to be okay with that? And so that's what their approach was, like, if not, I'm still not going to do what you ask. So sometimes God will deliver us from the fiery furnace, and sometimes he will let us go through the fiery furnace. And we are to love God for himself, not for what he can give or what he could give. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he gave us the greatest gift. His name is Jesus. So if you get no more Christmas presents and no more birthday presents, if you don't get the job that you want, if you don't have the kids that you want, if you don't have the marriage you have or you desire to have, if you're going to be single forever, you can rejoice. Why? Because you have Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus is not your everything, nothing will be your everything. We're always going to do the rat race. You're always going to find the better what? The better car, the better job, the better insurance, the better. Something's always going to be better because you're not satisfied with what you really desire, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, it may not be a golden image, but you're worshiping something. What is it? So if you're an unbeliever and you've just been hearing all this, I just want to encourage you to think about what risk are you taking? Like, what risk are you taking, and is it the result that you really want? Well, say if you do get the job, do you think that's going to complete you? Because I guarantee you could talk to a lot of stories in here and people would be like, yeah, I got that job. And actually, it was worse. More money, more problems. So if you're not a believer, I just want to challenge you, is the risk that you're taking really worth it? Because I can guarantee you the risk that will ultimately be worth it would be trust in Jesus Christ. Why? Because you may be in the furnace right now and you need somebody to get you through. And it ain't going to be the person you're probably looking for. Because it's Jesus. If you're looking for a fleshly person to get you through, they're sinners just like you. And they're probably going through something too. But there was a perfect man, the God-man, who has no blemish and bore the sins for everyone. His name is Jesus. And I guarantee that's what you're truly looking for too. If you want to ask more questions, I'd love to talk to you about the end of the service. But let's go back to our friends. So Daniel, I'm going to read Daniel verse 19 and then 22 to 23. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it's usually heated. Because the king's order, this is 22, was so urgent, the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed those who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the furnace, fiery furnace. I love this because the guards died of heat. Have you guys ever tried this trick when you're, like, you guys had a huge fire before, like a Christmas tree or whatever? Have you ever done this, like, trying to get the s'mores trick where you're like, there's the fire so hot, you do this? I'm the only one. You guys need to cook some s'mores, right? Like, or you try to do the Batman trick. Well, just imagine, it's seven times hotter than that. Like, just being in the presence of the heat, it didn't say they get burned. It's just the fire was so hot. They didn't touch the fire. The fire was so hot, these men died. And these Shadrach fell. Shadrach, Meshach, and just fell into it. To the point of falling in, these men were still saying, I'm not going to denounce God. Throw me in. I'm not going to denounce my father. Well, this complicates things, doesn't it? Well, because here it is. They've been glorifying God, but yet they fell in. I don't know if you ever said this before in your life. God, I did. But why aren't you? Right? These men, God, they glorified you. They talked about you. They bragged about you. And you let them fall in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus lived the perfect life, and God did not spare him from suffering. What makes you think that you should be something different? Right? Like, we walk through this life thinking God doesn't know our pain. He was stabbed with a spear. He knows pain. God doesn't know betrayal. His best friend sold him for 30 cents. He knows betrayal. And he's saying, I will walk you through it. You just gotta trust me. You just gotta trust me. See, God allows things to happen because he's wanting to show us his glory by delivering us through our struggles. And you may be in a furnace right now. It may be a family. It may be illness. It may be work relationships. It may be something spiritual. I just wanna encourage you. And so in the New Testament, Peter actually talks about this furnace fire. He says, 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, 6 through 7. In this you rejoice. Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold. Golden image. It's more precious than gold. That precious, through its tested, may be fire, tested by fire may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what are you saying that? That suffering relates to your character like fire does with gold. Fire makes gold better and pure. So does suffering with Christianity. The process of to make gold is they will throw in the material to make gold. They'll heat it up and they will heat it up, and then they would remove the iniquities. It was called dross. So they would scrape the iniquities, add more heat because they want it pure. And they would do this process over hours and hours, maybe days, until the blacksmith or goldsmith, whatever, whoever's making it, it was pure only when that person would see their image in it. So suffering for those who trust in Christ, God is letting you go through it. Why? So that people will see his image, not yours. That he will get you through it because he's trying to make his image known. And he does that with these individuals because look at Daniel 3, 24 through 5. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up with haste, and he declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men abound? And they answered to the king, true, O king. And he answered, but I see four walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like son of the gods. And I love that because God's let us go through the furnace and order us for things to be that are binding us be burned off. And so if we were honest with ourselves, there's probably some things in our lives that needs to get burnt by the fire. That's the iniquities. That's the dross, right? And it could be just bad work relationships. bad friendships, family drama, expectations of parenting, bills. Maybe some of you just angry. I just want to let you know that you're going through this process. Why? He's trying to make his image known. He's removing some things in your life that's not going to make that image known. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, God says this to Israel, says, "But now thus says the Lord, he created you, O Jacob. He formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." It was a promise given to Israel. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was living out that promise. So in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar says to him, he says, "Come near to the door." He came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the highest God, come out. Come here." And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, unbound, unhurt, didn't even smell like fire, as scripture says in Hebrew. Did not smell like fire. And I don't know why the fourth man did not come out, but I do know the sons of the gods. The word gods is Elohim. That's what the Elohim is, the word we use that describes the Trinity in the Old Testament. So Elohim, so the sons of Elohim, he's talking about the second person of the Trinity. And I know, that man that may have stepped out, but I do know this, is that that son of the gods, the second person of the Trinity, bore the biggest furnace, and it's the wrath of God. See, Jesus endured the furnace of the wrath of God so we don't have to. So we have unharmed men that came out of the fire. Later in the New Testament, we'll read that all humanity, not just some, all humanity can be spared from the harm of God's wrath if they put their trust in him. If they risk trusting in the Lord, they will be spared from the biggest furnace that's coming, because it's coming. It's called the wrath of God. And God bore and Jesus bore that for those who trust in him. So in verse 28, Daniel's continue. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we go through the worst circumstances for our lives, in our lives, and it's not for us, but it's for those around us to see the power of God. Sometimes we go through the furnaces, and it's not so that people will be like, "Oh, wow, look at you." It's so that others can glorify God through you. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's trust in God made Nebuchadnezzar realize how powerful their God really is and why they said what they said to him. And Nebuchadnezzar then proclaimed that their God is the highest God. This means sometimes your furnace is actually evangelism. I know that's not encouraging, but winning one soul to heaven through your furnace is worth it. Because that's another saint in the kingdom of God. So our furnaces sometimes is evangelism. It's for others to see the power of God through you, not for you. We're going to be taking up offering in a few minutes, but before you do, I want you to grab your Connect card. And this is a general challenge for all of y'all. If you haven't read Daniel's chapter 1 and 7, or you need a refresh, I would just want to encourage you to read chapters 1 through 7 in Daniel. Anytime you're in God's Word, it's always a great thing. But this is what I want you to do. I actually want you to write down how many times God is glorified, either by Daniel or the kings that they serve. Right? Look how many times Nebuchadnezzar glorifies God. How? Through what Daniel did. Through God's power. Right? There's other kings in there that will actually glorify God. And so chapters 1 through 7 are amazing. But in your next steps, obviously, number one, put your trust in Jesus. Right? Again, what image are you worshiping? What's that thing that you put all your time, energy, talents, giftings in, your emotions in? What is that thing that you're worshiping? Rather than putting all that in that, why don't you try to put it in the trust of Jesus Christ? I want to ask you to risk prayer for courage and service in the fire, because some of you guys are in the furnace right now, and you just need encouragement to not bow down to another image, but trust Jesus. So we want to encourage you in that prayer. Some of you just need to risk confessing and repenting. Why? Because you've been following a different image. Maybe it's perfectionism. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Whatever it is, we want to pray for you, and we're going to ask that you risk prayer this morning. And just confess the things that you've been given into. And so so the last one is just come receive prayer for this decision. We're all broken, ladies and gentlemen. Romans 3, none of us is righteous, not one. We all need prayer. Don't leave this place without knowing who you're really trusting in. Come receive prayer. So we're going to receive the offering, and we're going to do it past the buckets down the aisle. And as the ushers are coming up to take the offering and the connect card, if you didn't come prepared to give, you can give online. We're also going to have prayer, and we're going to have some people in the back. Some people are going to be on the sides here. I'll be over here, and we would just love to pray for you. But for this first song, what we actually want people we want all of y'all just to sit and just be in God's presence. And so we want you to reflect on the words, because we believe that maybe some of you were nudged this morning and you heard from God, and you just want some time to reflect on what you just heard. So if something bothered you, if something kind of nudged you, we'll love to pray for you. But after this song, we'll have communion up here too. Take it after the first song, please. And communion is just a great symbol to show that Christ broke his body for you, and that the blood of Christ can cleanse you. And that's just a symbol that Jesus took God's wrath. If you don't mind just praying with me, ushers, you can come up. Lord, we pray that you continue to guide us and mold us. That God, may we not fall down to the images of this world or give in to the pressures, but trust you above all things, for you are God, God alone.